The Last of the Mohicans by James Fenimore Cooper. Copyright Burlington Books 2000. Chapter 1. The Shortcut to the Fort.
At Fort Edward, on the edge of the dense forests of New York State, two men stood near a small group of horses. One of the men was tall and thin, with a big head, long arms and long, thin legs. He wore a blue coat and held a Bible in his hand. The other man was an Indian. He had a fierce expression. The war paint on his dark face made him look even fiercer. He was armed with a tomahawk and a knife, as well as the short rifle that the English gave to their Indian allies. The two men watched as hundreds of soldiers and settlers rode past them down a track and went into the forest. At that moment, Duncan Hayward, a handsome young English officer in a red uniform, approached the two men. There were two elegant young ladies with him. The young officer helped the ladies onto their horses. The younger woman's veil blew aside, revealing a clear complexion, golden hair, blue eyes, and an animated smile. The other young woman seemed to be a little more mature, with thick black hair, a dark complexion, and beautiful white teeth.
"Let's go!" shouted Duncan.
The man with the Bible watched as Duncan and the two women followed the other soldiers down the track into the forest. The Indian with the war paint ran next to them. He was their guide. This small group and the rest of the English soldiers were on their way to Fort William Henry. The fort's commander, Colonel Monroe, needed reinforcements from General Webb at Fort Edward to help him fight the French forces, who were commanded by General Montcalm. The two women were Colonel Monroe's daughters, and Duncan Hayward was taking them to their father. Magua, their Indian guide, would take them by a shortcut through the forest, so that they would arrive at Fort William Henry before the soldiers and settlers. After they had ridden for several hours, Magua indicated a narrow track that went into the forest. It was so narrow that they had to ride along it in single file. Alice, the younger of the two women, turned to her older sister Cora and said, "I don't like the look of our Indian guide. Perhaps it would be safer to travel with the soldiers, even though it might take a little longer." Duncan reassured her. "There is more danger of attack if we ride with the soldiers. Their route is known, but ours is a secret. Your father knows Magua well, and I am sure we can trust him."
"We should not distrust the Indian just because his skin is dark and his manners are different," added Cora. "If he knows our father, he is sure to be a friend to us."
The small group continued slowly along the track. Then Duncan heard the noise of a horse behind them. He turned around and saw the man with the Bible.
"I hope that you're not bringing us bad news," Duncan said.
"Not at all," the man replied. "I know you are riding to Fort William Henry, and I thought we would be good company for each other. We can sing psalms to pass the time."
"This man is a musician, Duncan," laughed Alice. "His name is David Gamut. Let him come with us, please. He amuses me, and he may be a friend in time of need."
When Duncan agreed, David blew a note on a flute and began to sing. Magua immediately went to Duncan and spoke quietly to him. The young officer then turned to David and said,
"Magua says that we must go as quietly as possible. Please do not sing until we reach the safety of the fort."
As he was speaking, Duncan thought he saw something shining in the bushes beside the track.
He laughed at himself for being so nervous. As the group disappeared down the track, an Indian with war paint on his face moved out from behind the trees. With a triumphant look on his face, he followed them. Other Indians who were hiding along the track also began to move through the forest after them.